Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't... What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down!
Come on!
Ready, down, set, hut, 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 hut!
Hit me! Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom, 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 nom!
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew, Carrie, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
Back it is, the Eskridge Lexus post-game podcast, brought to you by Eskridge Lexus, the fine folks there. And I know the vehicles are in short supply, but you know what? If you got an Eskridge, go get your tires changed or something. Go take it in for some service. Support the good folks who support us. Or buy one of the several cars that they have on the lot. Because they gave me a loaner last week, and there's not a lot of cars out there. That's just the way the world is. There's not a lot of anything. There's not a lot of defense out there, Eddie, because all the players are hurt.
Boy. It is, let's start with the negative, because we'll get into plenty of the positives, and there were a lot of positives on Saturday night in Norman, but, I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Oh, I get it. They're not good.
Then help me understand. Because I like there are like bright spots. There's great moments where you get off the field, you get a third down stop. Brian Asamoah is flying around, and then, you know, they go back out the next series and it's just big play after big play. Like, I didn't think that they were just necessarily awful tonight, but there's 9 to 10 plays that.
Yeah. Billy Bowman's trying to defend Quentin Johnston. I mean, that's problem number one.
Yeah.
Even when Joshua Eaton made a perfect play on high point of a football in the end zone and intercepted it, it didn't matter because Quentin Johnston was standing right there like, that's mine. And he just took it away from him.
7 receptions, 185 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Look, here's the thing, and this is what I've come to terms. It is currently 2:12 a.m. Eddie has edited tons of video. Bob Prisbillo has written all of his stories. I've done a post-game radio show. It's time now for the post-game podcast. I've had some time to think about some bleep and to talk about some bleep. This team is so banged up in the secondary. I mean, there's a couple of things like that could have gone really wrong tonight that didn't too, which is Key Lawrence actually was invisible, which is a very good thing. And Justin Broyles played really well tonight. Like, those are two things that you don't expect to happen. If you know that those two guys are starting, you're like, well, there's going to be some problems during the game with those two guys. And there really weren't. The problem is with the guy that they moved to corner who was undersized in Billy Bowman. And then the fact that Jaden Davis is starting on the other side because DJ Graham got a concussion and had to leave the game in the first half. Like,
yeah, so when did that happen? Like, that completely just blew right by my face. I had no idea.
See if
that
I can
happened.
See where my timestamp is. I can tell you,
it was really early, and he had the big hit on the first series of the defense, and maybe that's when it happened.
I
really don't know.
Less than an hour into the game when that happened in real time that happened.
Right.
So
well,
he was out.
I guess
most of the second quarter, and then he never came back. And here's the thing. We talked about this before, too. Like, Woody Washington, who could have foreseen that he would be one of the biggest losses on this team? And sure, he absolutely is. But here's the thing, the big thing, the thing that you need to take into account. They play Kansas. They play Texas Tech. They have a bye week. And then it's murderer's row. Baylor, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State. Like, they have time to get healthy.
27 days, Kerry. They got 27 days to figure it out defensively, because once they come back from that bye week, you're hitting
all hands Baylor, on deck. Yeah.
Which is looking more and more like that's going to be a top 15 matchup. You got Iowa State, who, by the way, they guess what time of year it is. They're starting to play pretty well. And in fact, I think going into next week, if they're able to beat Oklahoma State and Ames next weekend, you can officially say that they're back in the title race, or the, you know, championship game race, right, to get to Arlington. And then obviously Oklahoma State, who played extremely well from behind today and steals one down in Austin. I'll tell you this, Kerry. I'm glad that we're doing an Oklahoma podcast and not having to talk about the shit show that is the Texas Longhorns right now.
Two straight weeks, I've been sent videos of grown men crying.
I mean,
like openly sobbing.
I would be completely lying to you if I told you that, like, all the crowd shots of Texas fans in DKR from this afternoon. I'd be lying if I said that I didn't find some, like, sad, sick joy out of that.
I mean, I said it today. It's like every time at the end of a Texas Longhorns game, I just feel like, you know, this should be playing in the background. It's a tradition like any other. The Surrender Cobra at DK Royal Family Stadium, or whatever that place is called. I know that's sacrilege to you, Eddie. I'm sorry. But, no. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
Their fan base has got to be
the most tortured
fan base in all of college football.
Well, and you know,
I know nobody's listening to this pod crying for them.
No, not at all. Like, and that's the thing, though. It's like maybe that program is what we think it is. Like, I know it's not like everybody. There's always this allure about Texas football, and it's just a mediocre bunch right now. But that's where they are. They're just a very average football program. Oklahoma State's a better football program.
But here's the thing, though. They're an average, but how many times do you have a team that is capable of going out and starting a game like they have the last 2 weeks,
sure,
and then just watching it fall? They had one offensive yard in the second half, right? Or the fourth quarter.
Or fourth quarter, yes. Yeah. That's pathetic. It's pathetic.
Holy shit, one offensive yard.
It's pathetic.
And, you know, Bijan Robinson, again, disappears and gets outrushed by a guy that probably a lot of Texas fans either forgot about or didn't even know about, and Jalen Warren.
Sure.
Dominated game down the stretch.
Is it right? Did Jalen Warren have 118 yards in the fourth quarter today?
Yes. I mean, it was insane. I know you were on your way to the game. I was still sitting at home watching it, but yeah, he dominated that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was able to watch a little bit of the fourth quarter just kind of sitting around. I had to do radio from like 12 to 2 today, so I was able to kind of just chill and watch it. I was violently hungover this morning, Kerry.
Where'd you go last night?
It's been so long. I hosted a charity event at Oklahoma City Golf Country Club.
Yeah.
And it literally has probably been 5 to 7 years since I woke up and threw up, and that happened this morning. And then I threw up again when I got to Norman.
Well, at least you weren't in my car. That's all I
can. Yeah, that is true. That is true. But I guess we're kind of bearing the lead. Caleb Williams, unbelievable. It's absolutely I told you.
It's a different team. We're watching a different team. It is like at one point 2 weeks ago, reality split. It's like my living in hell theory. Like somehow we were transplanted to where the season ended and it started again. We just forgot that there was a preseason or something, because this is a completely different offense under Caleb Williams.
It's like, first off, the atmosphere in that stadium,
I know,
when
you
they
were
flashed
me
at Caleb Williams. I got good video of it. I'll put it up on the board. I'll send it over to you as well. It was like, there's only a handful of guys that have gotten individual like rounds of applause like that. Like Baker gets it when they show the NFL starters, or the NFL players from Oklahoma. Kyler will get a good ovation.
I remember CeeDee Lamb was getting that by the time he was done here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was during the starting lineups
stuff.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was almost like almost gave me chills. It was like, holy shit, there's like, he's done more in two quarters than a lot of people have in their entire careers at Oklahoma, it seems like.
Well, here's a really good stat. I saw this in Mike Houck's post-game notes. And this puts it into perspective of what we're seeing. There have only been five true freshmen that have started at quarterback in OU history. Darryl Royal, who Texas Stadium is named after, that came all the way back in 1946. Troy Aikman, it was just one game in 1984. By the way, Darryl Royal, just one game. Jamel Holloway, eight games in 1985 before he blew out his knee. That was after Troy Aikman broke his ankle. Cale Gundy, five games in 1990. And Caleb Williams tonight. How about that list of quarterbacks?
I mean, that's a who's who list of names there.
And you think about it, like, what we're seeing from Caleb Williams, like, everyone remembers this. Baker Mayfield had a really nice freshman year at Texas Tech. But it wasn't, like, this good. And Kyler Murray at Texas A&M, I think he had one start when he was a... Maybe he had three. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he had a handful of starts down at A&M.
But, I mean, he never was the type of quarterback that was like, oh, yeah, he's the guy. He's got to stay in. He's never getting out. He's never being taken out. Like, what we're seeing from Caleb Williams is Baker-esque. It's Kyler Murray-esque.
It's incredible
to think that Spencer Rattler spent a year and a half and never was this good.
Yeah.
It says a lot about what we're witnessing right now.
Well, I mean, he just does things that, like, the 41-yard touchdown run that he had tonight. It's just like he can do things and he makes it just look so easy. And then his ability to move around in the pocket. And I think that Josh noted it. I saw he noted it during the game on Twitter, just as far as he does things that, like, you can obviously teach, but it seems like everything is just so, it's like second nature to him. It doesn't seem like he's putting in a lot of effort to do something that obviously is taking a lot of effort, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Eddie, he was so good tonight. And I know this might be sacrilege. He was so good tonight. They were able to overcome a Gabe Berkich missed field goal, which
I know what the hell, man?
The Texas game, they didn't do that. And none of the games before, remember when all the people were so mad at Spencer Rattler and they were blaming him because Gabe Berkich was having to win games for us?
Sure.
Well, us, it's
bad.
It's
night and day difference. It's a night and day difference in the offense right now. And it's incredible. Like, Where the hell did Jaden Hazelwood come from?
Well, I mean, that's the thing about Caleb Williams. That's the thing that's most impressive is that, remember all the times that we were talking about, remember coming out of that, what game was it? I think it was the West Virginia game where we were literally wondering what the hell the receivers were doing. Like,
sure.
It seemed like they just ran out to a defensive back and stood there.
Yeah.
And there was no one to throw to. And remember, everybody made such a big deal out of that one play where Drake Stoops broke wide open and he didn't hit him.
Right.
Like, no one's bitching about that kind of stuff now because he's hitting everybody.
Yeah.
He's even throwing perfectly good touchdown passes to people like Austin Stogner that just missed them.
Yeah, just a straight up drop. But I got a great angle I got a great shot of that throw to Stogner in the end zone, too. And it's like, he fit that in a very, very small window to Austin Stogner.
Yeah.
I think Hazelwood said something after the game about it. It's just like,
well, the back shoulder touchdown throw to Hazelwood.
He has no fear.
I mean, that's what we're seeing, too, is like, we've seen Rattler trying to work those back shoulders to Hazelwood, and they never really connected on him. But Caleb Williams is connecting on those to Jaden Hazelwood.
Yeah.
You heard Mike Woods talk about in the post game the 50-50 balls and how much they, you know, love that he'll, you know, trust them to go up and come down with it. And we talked about that last week. Like, that was just something that Spencer Rattler wasn't willing to do. It was like he didn't want, it was almost like he was worried about his completion percentage. He only wanted to make throws that people could absolutely catch. He was like he was what do they call it, paralysis by over analysis. It's just like, man, Caleb Williams is a young guy. He doesn't care. He's going to throw it up there and give you an opportunity to come down with it. And it's almost like the receivers and Kennedy Brooks after the game, he's talking and it's just like, I was really worried when we did the Isaiah Thomas show last week of making a promo out of him talking about the 66-yard touchdown run because you saw him light up and he was just like, wow. I mentioned, you know, how much, you know, momentum you could tell that they got from Caleb. And I was like, I don't want to, like, if I put that out there as a promo, every fan's going to be like, see, even the players know it needs to be Caleb Rattler. You suck.
Sure.
Like, I didn't want to start that. But like every player that's asked about it, they kind of say the same thing. It's like,
no,
it's almost a Caleb Williams love fest.
It's one of those things too, that I think that sometimes we look at it and we say, well, that couldn't be true. But in reality, it is true. Like every player on that team knows what Caleb Williams is bringing to that offense right now. And not just the offense, what he's bringing to the entire team as far as, you know, just kind of being a spark plug. And you look at every one of those players.
He's rubbing off on
Jaden Hazelwood, Kenny D. Brooks, Eric Gray. Any of the skill position guys, Kerry, they have all elevated their play in the six quarters that Caleb Williams, or six and a half, seven quarters that Caleb Williams has played.
Yeah, I mean, his energy just rubs off on everybody else. And I hate...
He's just one of those guys that can do it, too, without really being that Baker Mayfield in your face rah rah guy. And Caleb does say stuff like, you can see, like, I got a good picture before the game. Caleb Williams is like in the middle of the
offensive line huddle. Yeah.
Like team huddle or group huddle. And it's just like, it's little things like that. It's waiting for the team to go back into the locker room, and Caleb Williams is the one guy that's standing there, like, you know, shaking everybody's hands, giving everybody high fives and stuff. It's little things like that. And there was somebody that like turned around to me and he's like, that's it. Like, that's the difference right there. And he didn't even have to say what he was talking about. We both knew.
Does it seem to you, because you're looking on the sideline all the time and you're getting B-roll and stuff of like Lincoln, does it seem like to you that Lincoln and Caleb's interactions are just a little different than Lincoln and Spencer's?
100%.
Like, if I could explain it, I would almost say like...
We can... I'll put together a little mashup. I mean, it is... I don't know how to explain
it. It seems to be
exactly
more of a conversation, more of a dialogue, more of a...
Yes. 100%.
Like, there's more back and forth. There's more, I don't want to say teaching because I don't know what's going on, but it seems like Caleb is more receptive to Lincoln and what he's telling him, and Lincoln is also more receptive to what Caleb is saying back to him.
It's 1,000%. 1,000% agree. Even this evening, there were points, and especially in the first half, in the first quarter, like Lincoln, and I've never seen him carry like a clipboard with him.
Yeah, I saw like that. They were going over it with each other. I don't know if that was like their script that they, because it was early in the game when I saw it.
It was like the first, I noticed it on the first series after the touchdown, and like Lincoln's like drawing plays up and stuff. Or no, I don't know about plays, but.
No, it was, they showed a close up on TV. It was like a spreadsheet.
Okay.
So it was like, I think it was their script, like how they scripted the plays to start the game, because it was like Lincoln was like going over a row and like they were going down the rows and showing like we did this and this and then we got this coming and this. So I think that's what it was.
There is definitely, it's a different level of understanding and conversation. There's no doubt about
and
it.
Communication.
I
mean, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to say something on the U40 about that. It is, and I'll put up the video on the board in you know, the post game podcast thread or something, because it's hard to explain. It's there is something there though. And like, I don't want to be negative because I do think that like,
it's hard to praise Caleb Williams without saying something
like
negative
really
about Spencer Rattler. Yeah.
I know. And it's just so weird too, though, because, and there's just no other way to say this than I got some pretty good video of like pregame stuff, like right before kickoff. And I will credit Spencer Rattler because that had to have been a very awkward evening for him.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he handled everything fairly well. Like to sit there and watch the guy that is basically taking your job, not only excel, but do it at, you know, somewhat of a historical rate.
And I did notice it seemed like he was more on Lincoln's hip tonight than he was last week.
And I will say, like, it looked like from what I saw, Rattler was very in tune with the game. It looked like he had made a conscious effort to say, people are looking at me on the sidelines. There's going to be TV cameras on me on the sidelines. I don't need to sit over here and pout and look like a little bitch. That's the only way to say it. But it's funny, and I was talking to Nate Fagan about this. The lack of interaction that those two have, like Caleb Williams and Spencer Rattler, is just, it's so awkward. It's so, like, it makes me feel uncomfortable watching those two, like, basically kind of go out of their way to avoid each other at all costs. I got video before the game.
It's like,
and it is, Kerry, it is a top 10 most uncomfortable watch, like just how they kind of go about, like just basically walking by each other and literally looking the other way.
It's got to be like two exes at a wedding.
No, yes, it is. they share the goddamn quarterback room together.
Yeah,
like and that kind of gets me into like the stuff that,
like, maybe Riley, two exes that one's a groomsman and the other's a bridesmaid.
Sure.
And they have to do, like, you know, the rehearsal dinner together and stuff. And, oh, it's got to be awful for him.
What do you think? What do you make of, like, the, I don't know, like the Riley, like, going out of his way, like, to not.
I talked about this after the
overly
game.
Overly praise him. It just is weird. It's very weird to me.
To me, it's bad analogy time. I'm sorry. It's like if you raised a kid that just was really wild and maybe he like ran away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started a new family and you had another kid and you wanted to make sure that, you know, you didn't coddle him and spoil him and that he grew up right and he wasn't gonna get addicted to smack and run away from home. Like, you never want to praise him too much. You never want to build him up. It's like, okay, let's not let this kid's head get too big to the point that he thinks that he's all that. Like, let's keep him in check. Let's make him work to be great instead of every time he throws a completion, you're just like, man, you're really doing great out there.
It's almost in a way too, like, Riley knows that Caleb can handle it. Like, he is just such a more mature person
than
Rattler is.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe he's mentally stronger.
It's almost like they've had conversations behind closed doors between Lincoln and Caleb, and it's like, you know, I got you. Like, I'm going to have to go out there and I'm going to say some stuff because we know we have to bring Spencer along a little bit.
Well, you know this story.
It kind of goes back to those conversations on the sidelines, though. It's like, There was I don't know if you saw the clip. It was in the Sights and Sounds, I think, last week from the Cotton Bowl. And they're talking and, like, Caleb kind of hits Lincoln in the chest a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like it was kind of like, yeah, I got you, coach. I got you. And it's like they're thinking on the same wavelength almost.
You know, I think what's probably going to happen is his star continues to get brighter. I think this story that, you know, the first time I talked to his dad, to Caleb's dad, it was that, you remember I wrote a story about it when him saying, we told Lincoln, if we feel like this is the place for Caleb, we're coming here whether you offer us a scholarship or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of made its way out there a little bit, but I think that will blow up nationally. But that kind of shows you, like, Caleb really does share his father's view of that. Like, and that's a very Baker thing. Just like him coming here, even though Trevor Knight was coming off of the Sugar Bowl and he was a Heisman, you know, front runner going into that season. And he was like, I don't care. I want to play at Oklahoma because that's where I want to be. I want to play for Lincoln Riley. like, Caleb's kind of got that same attitude.
Yeah. No, I think he does. And it's exciting in a way, knowing that he's going to be around for, you know, 2.5 more years under Lincoln Riley. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't think that there's anybody, even the people that were calling for Caleb to take over, you know, in the West Virginia game.
Oh, they had
game,
no idea. No, that's the thing. It's like, you know, people are like wanting to take credit. Like, yeah, you guys thought we were stupid. It's like, well, you weren't stupid. You were just doing what all fans do. Is like, you had no idea that Caleb Williams would come out and do this. You just wanted to change for the sake of change, which I get it. That happens all the time. If you see something that's not working, you just assume that there's somebody better because this is Oklahoma. You just got lucky that there was someone that was this good because no one knew that he'd be this good.
No,
this fast.
I mean, you were asking for a guy to come in into the game that hadn't played meaningful snaps in a year. Two years.
Yeah.
2 years. And for him to play like he has over the, you know, the first seven quarters, it's just, it feels like it's something more than
it's
a
lightning
guy just
in a bottle.
Going in and being
I mean,
good.
It's once again, it's lightning in a bottle. It is like, if you don't now believe that Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray being back to back number one picks and Heisman Trophy winners wasn't winning the lottery after seeing Jalen Hurts wasn't quite that. Spencer Rattler wasn't anywhere close to that. Like, you had two quarterbacks to show you that it just doesn't happen because you want it to happen or because Lincoln Riley is their coach. And, I mean, the other funny thing is Caleb Williams was not Lincoln Riley's first choice to be his quarterback in that class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen to Brock Vandergriff in his career, but I would have a hard time believing he's going to be this good.
I would agree.
So it's like, even Lincoln Riley chose someone else over Caleb Williams before all this happened. So it's lightning just, in a bottle. I mean, it's winning the lottery.
The whole thing has been insane. The whole thing has been insane over the last couple weeks. I mean, I don't think that anybody could have forecasted him to come in, and he hasn't just been good. He's been excellent.
Phenomenal.
Like, Kirk Herbstreit's trying to throw him into the Heisman Trophy.
That was
race.
That was a really funny part of the broadcast because Fowler was like, "You can't do that." He's like, and then like he throws that pass that like almost a perfect pass for a touchdown. And it was just like, well, maybe you can do that. Like, it's just like with the people out there that are just blowing your mind in college football, the list is few and far between.
He is making his teammates better. There's just no other way to say it.
He's making the entire team better. I mean, well, at least last week he made the defense better. This week you can't say the same thing.
Sure, they took a step back. But at the same time, I think that there's a, you know, somewhat of a energy boost that he has brought into just his presence on the field. And Kennedy Brooks has run the ball about as well as I can remember him ever running the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Although, yeah, I mean,
it was kind of messed up too that they took him out on the last possession. He does all that work to get him down to the 2-yard line and then they put Gray in.
I will say though, he was getting the shit beat out of him.
Oh my God.
They were hammering him. I was like, you should take him out of the game. Like, you know, he's your best running back. The game's pretty much salted away. Like, don't use him to salt it away. Use somebody. I mean, put Weatherman Jay in there or something. Like,
yeah, Marcus Major was in for a couple snaps tonight.
I didn't even notice that. By the way,
he was in for one, I think. I know that he was in for one.
By the way, 2:38 a.m. here as we're podcasting. I think that we got the early answer today, Eddie, knowing that Josh would not be joining us tonight when he let us know he was drunk at about 1 a.m. or 1 p.m.
Yeah,
this afternoon.
I think he's been probably asleep for a couple days or for a couple hours, I mean.
Maybe more than that, yeah. But,
yeah.
You know, he was like, has David Agwebu even played? I've only seen him on one play. Like, he was second on the team in tackles tonight. So David Agwebu actually played quite well tonight.
Yeah, there's like,
it just didn't,
defensively,
it didn't
that's
really
the thing that
register, I guess, yeah.
That's the thing that I don't understand about the defense. It's like, you can look and you can pick out good spots. And the Joshua Eaton play is like a perfect example of, he was in great position. He just got the ball taken from him. He got mossed.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. It's just like, there's caffeine. I didn't think the defensive line played particularly well today. You know, linebackers, I thought Brian Asamoah, he flashed at moments. I can't tell you that Deshaun White, did he do anything tonight?
Well, he fumbled.
Oikpu played okay.
Deshaun White fumbled the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Which was a fantastic play up until that point. Like, he was.
Yeah, and you know what? That was a great play by Latrell McCutcheon to knock the ball loose.
Yeah, second time he's done that this year. But no, I mean, yeah, it was weird on the defensive line. You know, they played Isaiah almost exclusively on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And they played Caleb Kelly a lot on the outside, which, you know, I'm kind of back and forth on that. I don't know that that's the way to go. I mean,
I think that there are much, much bigger problems over on that side of the football right now.
But, I mean, we're just talking about, you know, the defensive line didn't show.
Oh,
and the
sure.
other thing is, you know, Duggan is just, once he senses pressure, he's gone. So,
yeah,
he's just very difficult to corral. And he's really, you know, one of the biggest parts of their offense. I mean, it just happened that the secondary was awful. And yeah, they made a lot of big plays.
They got 27 days. It's kind of like we talked about at the beginning. They got 27 days to be able to get healthy and figure it out. Hopefully you get Woody Washington back. Dellen Turner Yell should be back here in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. I think Jalen Redmond will be back for Texas Tech. You know, you get those three guys back and you can probably start moving in the right direction as far as kind of righting all the wrongs on that side of the football.
And but, obviously with DJ Graham being a concussion, the worst it would be would he wouldn't play at Kansas next week.
Yeah, and I mean, you shouldn't have to need him up in Lawrence.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, the thing that bothers me is it's not like they're just busting a bunch of stuff. It's just missed tackles. It's being out of position. That's the kind of shit that just shouldn't be happening right now.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, moving Billy Bowman to corner, doesn't it make more sense to just kind of force Latrell McCutcheon into playing more? Because I think he's more the answer than anybody else on that roster.
For him or Josh corner. Eaton?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think that Eaton was just terrible.
No. I mean,
that's a situation very that he few, can certainly Woody, learn from. At least he was in position to make a play on the football.
The last time I saw a young player make that good of a play on the ball in the end zone was Woody Washington.
Sure.
So that, I mean, it was a fantastic play. It's just, you know, Quentin Johnston is a massive human being, and he just ripped the ball right out from under him. I mean,
that was a great play. I mean, that was just a great play on his part.
I don't know what that motion he was trying to make was at the end, the trash talk or whatever. It was kind of funny.
I think that's like the equivalent of rocking the cradle, isn't it? Or rocking the baby. Saying that you're small, like you're a small
maybe
person.
Maybe so. Yeah. He's like, stay down, little man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was disappointed though with, it just seems like they just don't generate any pressure with the defensive line. Outside of Nick Benito. Benito's excellent. He gets held on every play. I think he tweeted something after the game and had to delete it. But
well, he got tackled in the end zone. I mean, there should have been a safety at the end there.
Oh, what? I mean, the guy literally, he double-legged him.
Yeah. It was
from behind.
Pathetic. Lincoln about lost his mind.
Like, I don't know. Like, Perry Winfrey's been pretty disappointing.
But here's the thing. Here's the bonus for me with the defense tonight. If you told me before the game started that Key Lawrence and Justin Broyles were going to be starters, I'd have been like, oh, shit. Like, how many plays are those guys going to give up? And they both played really well.
Yeah, I thought Broyles played okay. Pat Fields had a pretty rough night.
Led the team in tackles, though.
Pat Fields did?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, he leads the team in tackles overall.
Oh, overall.
Yeah. I didn't really think it was a rough night for Pat Fields, I'll be honest.
He did not get a very glowing score from Joshua. 63.
Interesting. But I mean, also you had some offensive line injuries that were a little concerning.
Yeah,
you had some combinations at times that were a little weird.
Tyrese Robinson has an ankle issue. Eric Swenson comes in for him. What happened to Anton Harrison? I just noticed that he came up, like he was very late getting back to the line of scrimmage from, it was one of the long plays. It might've been the Mike Woods 59-yard reception.
Yeah.
I never saw what happened though.
It was early in the second half. Because I was running an errand and I was listening. Plank was reporting it on the radio and I was just getting back right as the second half was getting underway. But yeah, I mean, I don't even remember it tracking whether he came back in or not.
He did. Okay. 100%.
Yeah, it did seem like the guys that left the field banged up, most of them came back except for DJ.
Yeah, Gray. even Benito. I know Benito that, got, you know, there were some people that were worried about him limping off at one point, but he came back in on the very next series.
Yeah.
In fact, we got video of him kind of running around, so he looked like he was okay.
I mean, the biggest thing is you got Kansas and Texas Tech and a bye week.
Yeah, you got 27 days to get
Woody healthy. I mean, once Redmond comes back, then they can put Isaiah back outside. And then you got to get DeLarian Turner Yell back.
Sure.
And you got to get DJ Graham back.
Oh, there was one other. I guess Plank said hamstring for Mario Williams.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And
he was dancing around and having a pretty good time late in the fourth quarter on the sideline. So I don't think that is something.
I think
that
Plank said that he came out of the halftime locker room, started stretching and trying to run. And he could tell something was wrong, and he took his gloves out of his belt and threw them into the stands like he was disgusted, knowing that he wasn't going to be able to play.
Did you see that damn picture that he put up on Instagram with Lincoln, his sunglasses on with Lincoln?
In the locker room at Texas, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And Caleb Williams was right next to him.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I noticed he switched to the orange mouthpiece tonight. Maybe it was bad juju.
Yeah, he had it was like one of those like old school looking
mouthpieces. He and Jaden both have they were wearing the green ones. I thought maybe it was like a Joker thing, but he was wearing orange tonight.
Have you ever noticed that like Caleb Williams does not put his mouthpiece in? He like just chews on it.
He puts it on the side of his, he puts the side of it in his mouth.
For some reason, it doesn't bother me. I just don't know why he has it in there. Hey, he caught every snap too, so that's another bonus.
Yeah, I mean, he was good.
Yeah, they were really good. He was really good. He's going to put up big numbers over the next couple weeks, and expectations are going to build, and it basically becomes a 3-game season for Oklahoma, and it starts with the trip down to Waco.
I did think it was interesting listening to Lincoln, and you know, I think maybe he thought that there was more controversy than there really was this week. I mean, to me, the noise that I heard was he better start Caleb Williams. I don't think, maybe he's thinking back to like the student reporter that asked him that question about his personality and stuff.
I did think that was kind of weird, but you know what it is. It's kind of like the shit that we talked about privately too. It's like all of these stupid ass Instagram, like college football dot whatever, puts out these stupid ass reports and people believe it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there was one,
it's like the Rattler stuff.
Rattler's going to start. And then they put a giant caveat right after they post that, but the situation is fluid. So don't be surprised if he doesn't start.
Yeah. Or the stuff that was even worse at the beginning of the week. It's like, I've talked to sources in Norman, and Spencer Rattler will enter the transfer portal in the next couple days. It's like,
yeah, that guy.
What's wrong with you people?
I don't know if I hate that or I hate my friends that
believe it.
Text me and ask me if that's true.
Yeah, I think the best stuff is that's out there is the. It was kind of funny too that like how many people from south of the Red River all of a sudden had sources in Norman, Oklahoma this week. It's like,
well, they really have nothing better to do.
Where's this stuff even coming from?
There's not a whole lot for them to do down there right now, except
bitch. And I mean, they might be 4-4 by this time next Saturday. I don't necessarily think that they're going to go down to Waco and win.
Yeah.
It's a big week in the Big 12 next week. Obviously, OU is playing Kansas at 11 a.m. On ESPN. But the two games that are very, very intriguing that will have an impact on who ends up getting to Arlington, Iowa State hosting Oklahoma State up in Ames, which, you know, if Oklahoma State can get through that game, it makes for a very interesting bedlam and a very interesting back half of the schedule. I kind of am leaning towards thinking that Iowa State's going to win that game and all of a sudden be right back in it as well. And then Baylor and Texas. I mean, Baylor will have a very good chance of finding a way to try to get to Arlington if they can beat the Horns on Saturday.
I mean, if I'm Texas, Spencer Rattler was not good, or Spencer Sanders was not good today. He was awful.
Yeah.
And they still won that game.
Mike Gundy, and he basically said, we're going to give this game to Jim Knowles and you guys figure out a way.
I mean, it's almost like it's been such a long day, but thinking back on it, flabbergasted that they won that game as bad as Spencer Sanders played.
Oh, and imagine, like, Texas is driving up 17-3 and the Jason Carter pick six, and all of a sudden it's a ball game. If Texas is able to go score and it's 24-3, I mean, who knows what happens? But I don't know if Oklahoma State's able to dig themselves out of that hole.
I did enjoy all the jokes about maybe you need breaks because you're running out of gas every second half.
I saw who's quickly becoming one of maybe my favorite families of Oklahoma football. I saw Steve Stutzman took a nice shot at Texas today.
Oh, did he?
He said something about don't need gas if don't need to hit the brakes if you run out of gas or something like that.
But it was disappointing because Big Fox or Big Noon Kickoff was not in Austin today.
Why weren't they? I noticed that this morning.
I mean, I guess they don't always go on location. That's only for special games.
I kind of thought that they did. I don't know. Although
Wendy's isn't paying them enough.
Bob was already back in Oklahoma today. Yeah. They showed him up on the big board tonight.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he probably had a couple extra tequilas for the Hawkeyes.
Oof.
It's embarrassing. What if none of the Big Ten teams are any good?
I mean, it's possible.
I don't think
it is funny that, you know.
You know what the big talking point coming out of this weekend will be? Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten.
Oh, well, JoJo was, you know, setting the stage for that last weekend.
I love it. I love it. I saw that he had OU at 5 again this week. Behind Alabama, behind Cincinnati.
And Ohio State.
Yeah, in Ohio State. He's on a roll right now.
Man. Yeah, never change, JoJo.
No. God, no. That'd be the worst.
So, yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, you know, what this week is going to be. I just hope that things kind of die down. I'm sure we'll still have to deal with a lot of, I hear Spencer Rattler's going to be in the portal today type stuff. But
I would hope not.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of all those idiots out there that are just trying to start stuff for attention.
They only have 5 games left. I mean, he's not going anywhere.
I'll find it really interesting if he enters the draft.
Don't you kind of think like that's... I mean, there's only 2 plays. He's not coming back to Oklahoma.
No.
You either enter the draft or you somehow find your way back to maybe Arizona State, something like that.
If he enters the draft, though, that signals what the problem is with the guy. He doesn't have enough good tape to even be drafted.
Sure.
And if he thinks that he does, that's the problem.
No, it is.
He needs to go somewhere and become and prove that he's a great quarterback because he hasn't done that yet.
Go down to Oxford. Play for Lane Kiffin. I think Matt Corral's a senior.
Is he senior?
I think so. Or at least he's at least draft eligible.
Well, yeah, he'll be draft. I mean, that guy's got major heat on him. He's got to go after this year.
Do you see all that shit that happened down there today? Knoxville?
No, uh-uh. I mean, I saw the game was pretty close. And it was back and forth.
They had a 20-minute... You need to go check it out. They had a 20-minute delay in the fourth quarter with 40-something seconds left because Tennessee fans were throwing stuff onto the field.
Wow.
Somebody threw a golf ball at Lane Kiffin.
Wow.
And if you go to Lane Kiffin's Twitter, he tweeted out a GIF from Seinfeld when George Costanza gets the golf ball out of the whale's blowhole.
Uh-huh.
And he tweeted that GIF. It's pretty funny. He also, somebody threw a water bottle at his head and he caught it as he's walking off the field. Ole Miss ends up winning the game. They hold on. Tennessee gets the ball back with there's like 45 seconds left, and they get it all the way down to the Ole Miss 20-yard line. This is after the stoppage. But I guess the Tennessee fans, like Greg Sankey's made a statement. The athletic director over at Tennessee's made a statement. It was, if you just scroll through Twitter and put Tennessee Vol fans, they're getting dunked on because it was like, it was just embarrassing.
I got to admit, though, just the fact that they were in that game, bravo, Josh Heupel. You're doing way better than I thought you would.
31-26, I think, was the final. And then the final play of the game, the Tennessee quarterback just runs out of bounds. Doesn't even give him an opportunity.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty bad. Two things that just came to mind, too, that I thought the stuff with Riley talking about Jaden Hazelwood after the game was kind of interesting about basically talking to the team
standing
last night
in
and
front
saying
of the team,
that,
yeah,
which is I kind of take as like a major sense of growth on Jaden Hazelwood's part. He doesn't necessarily seem like the guy that would
and he
do
was
that.
He was I mean a lot better after the game in the interview setting than I've heard him.
Yeah, well, he was in a great mood. He had probably the best game of his career. It's incredible.
I think
that
Bob asked him a question that he kind of got confused about.
Yeah, I think he did too.
I think he thought he was asking him, do you think you'll ever have a game this good again? When he was saying, were you frustrated that you hadn't had this type of game before? And he was like, oh, I think I'll have a game like this again. I don't know.
Yeah, like I'll pray for it. Like, it's like, not really. What was that?
I literally would have stopped. I wanted Bob to like stop and be like, no, that's not what I'm saying.
He seems like a good kid.
No, he always has.
It's just crazy. Like, and again, I know that we've kind of hit on this already, but the wide receiver unit just looks completely different with Caleb Williams throwing him the football. I mean, all of a sudden, Marvin Mims is just wide open all
the
time.
You have a roster now. Like before, you didn't even know if you had a roster that was any good at receiver.
Yeah.
Now you
Everybody
feel like you have like
middling.
Now you feel like you have an entire team full of badasses.
It's just like, I can't imagine what that's like for Spencer Rattler to sit there and watch. And then B, for like the players to just acknowledge that this thing is moving at such a better pace than it was.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
But that's,
I mean,
where
all
we
of
are.
A sudden, all of a sudden, Mike Woods is the guy that we thought that he was going to be when he came over from Arkansas.
Yeah. He looks really good. Jaden Hazelwood looks
great.
Really good. Marvin
looks
Mims
great.
Looks really good. I mean, how
they're
good
doing
is
all this?
How good is
with,
Theo Weiss when he gets back?
Yeah, no kidding. And I will note that Theo, he's off the scooter,
right,
which is good news. He just has the boot now. He certainly was kind of moving around like somebody that maybe could get onto the field here in the next couple weeks. I don't know how much, I don't know how quickly he'll be able to acclimate himself. But
yeah, make an impact.
If you can get him back at some point, especially in the next 27 days before you start those final three games of the year, this offense is all of a sudden looking like something that I think a lot of people are familiar with when you're talking about Oklahoma offensively.
Look, I to wrap this up, I know the defense isn't anything that makes anyone have any happy feels. They're going to get better because they're going to get healthy. You got Kansas, you got Texas Tech, you got a bye week. And then we see. I mean, at least now, Eddie, you know that this team is capable of making a run. Because I don't think until the last 2 weeks, until at least halftime of the Texas game beyond, it's the first time all year you've thought, okay, this team is finally making that jump that we thought that they would make with Spencer Rattler. They just never did it with Spencer. They're doing it now with Caleb. You should feel a certain kind of something about this team that you haven't felt all year. And that's a good thing. I know it's not all perfect.
Just the fact that we can sit here and they won by 21 and we can be super critical about some things, I think is probably a step in the right direction.
It definitely is. It definitely is. But, you know, it's going to be fun watching Caleb Williams grow and keep doing more. And I thought, you know, you noticed that the tempo was a lot better today. They went faster than they did a week ago. So you could tell just a week of practice gave Lincoln a better sense of comfort, just upping the tempo in the game. And that was a nice step forward. And I think we're going to continue to see more with the run game, see more with the trick plays like we did against Texas. I'm wondering if this is kind of reinvigorating Lincoln a little bit too, that he's not just banging his head against the wall trying to get this offense to work now. Now it's working. It's
got to
be fun for him.
I just would love to know, like, not necessarily if he's surprised by any of this, but if he could go do it all over again, if he would have made the move earlier.
I don't think he would ever admit it. I don't think you could have, because he had to give Spencer time. There are a lot of coaches that never would have made this move by now.
Sure. God, can you imagine? I don't think they, I mean, they obviously don't beat
Texas. They're named Kirk Ferentz.
It's just incredible. It really is.
By the way, did you see the post-game handshake between Mac Brown and the man he fired, Manny Diaz, today?
No.
Go find it. It is
icy.
It is. Oh, it's super icy. And it's super. Okay, Grandpa, I'm leaving now. Like, Manny Diaz wanted nothing to do with having a conversation with Mac Brown at midfield after losing to him.
Damn. So Miami got beat again today.
Yeah. And Mac had this bewildered look on his face like, son, you need to just let this go. It was bizarre. Like, you were asking, like, Bob was asking me, he's like, hey, tell me if it's awkward between Holly Rowe and Lincoln in the post game. And it was it was fine. It was a standard interview. And he was, I mean, Lincoln was really good. He didn't hold any grudges or anything after she tweeted that stuff about Caleb.
Sure.
And he shouldn't, because he should have let Caleb talk to her. But
it's a different story for another day. Yeah. We were just thankful to get post-game access, right?
I'm just glad they're practicing journalism in this world again, Eddie.
Right. Right.
All right, I think we should end it on that one. We'll be back again. My God, what is it? What time are we ending this? And I've still got to get this pod up. 3:02 a.m. So
3:02.
We do it for the people, Eddie.
Hey, sometimes these are luxury side of the 6:30 kickoff.
Are you hairing the dog right now? Are you a six pack in?
No, I'm not. I'm not drinking anything. I think I'd throw up again if I did.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either. I would have fallen asleep by now if I'd had anything to drink.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the rest of this post game stuff up and probably hit the sack.
I'm gonna get this pod up, so we'll have it up for you in the morning. But
cool.
Eddie, I appreciate it. Long night, but it's fun. One day soon, we'll be doing this in the offices on campus. So,
for sure, I ran into a couple people today that were asking me about the office and stuff. So, it is it's exciting, and it was exciting.
Our guy
Chef
Travis
Caleb Williams
was DMing me asking me if we were open for business yet. So,
oh really?
Yeah, I told him. I think after the bye week, it's not like a public building really or anything. It's just a production studio, so it's not like we're gonna be hosting tailgates there. And game day, it's harder. They barely even let us in on game days anyway. But
sure.
No, I mean, there'll be time for that during the off season, probably, where, you know, we can make some appointments and have people come by. But yeah, we're taking baby steps right now. So, like I said on Twitter, I just had 2,000 feet of Ethernet cable delivered today. So I'm going to be stringing that all this week. So fun.
That sounds exciting.
It's going to look like a construction site for the next couple of weeks. I'm just hoping that we could be open for business after the bye week, because that's my goal right now. So
sure.
So anyway, but no, looking forward to all that stuff. Looking forward to the Isaiah Thomas show coming up again this week, Unofficial 40.
Should be good.
All the content coming on the website. Appreciate everybody. Subscribe to SoonerScoop.com. If you're not, if you appreciate us staying up till 3 a.m. To bring you guys post-game podcasts every weekend. And we didn't have to do it from a car this time, so that was good. And we can go now, sleep in our own beds, which is good. And we'll see you guys back here on Wednesday for the Unofficial 40. And the next week, Eddie and Bob will be in Lawrence for the first bye week of the season. And the second official bye week will be 2 weeks later. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Eddie. Thanks to Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Go check out our boys at deadsoxy.com. Also, appreciate all of our sponsors on the podcast. And we'll see you guys next week right back here for another edition of the Eskridge Lexus Postgame Podcast on SoonerScoop.com.